standing by, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coca-Cola HBC's conference call for the Q1 trading update. We have with us Mr. Dimitri Lloyd, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Michalis Imellos, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Basak Kotler, Investor Relations Director. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After a brief update on the 2017 first quarter trading, we will open the call to questions. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad at any time and wait until your name is announced. I must also advise that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 11th of May, 2017. I now pass the floor to one of your speakers, Mrs. Basak Kotler. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for joining our call today to discuss Coca-Cola Hellenic Bottling Company's first quarter trading update. Today, I'm joined by our Chief Executive Officer, Dimitris Lloyd, and our Chief Financial Officer, Michalis Imellos. Before we get started, let me remind everyone that this conference call contains various forward-looking statements. These should be considered in conjunction with the cautionary statements in our trading update press release, which we published this morning. As per our usual format for trading update, Dimitris will make some brief opening remarks before we open the floor to your questions, which Dimitris and Michalis will take together. Let me now turn the call over to Dimitris.
Thank you, Basak. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our call. We've made a pleasing start to the year with volume growth, coupled with substantial improvement in price and mix trends, resulting in revenue growth of 5.2% on FX neutral basis. Group volume increased by 0.7% compared to 0.1% in the prior year quarter. It is important to note that Easter fell in Q2 this year, thereby impacting our Q1 volume. Excluding this impact, we see improving trends in the majority of our countries. In addition, our ongoing focus on revenue growth management has made a significant contribution to our overall performance. Package and category mix improvements, combined with the price increases, delivered a 4.5% improvement in revenue per case on an FX neutral basis. The adverse impact of currencies has moderated in the quarter as expected and represented a headwind of only 0.7% to our top line, resulting in a 4.5% net sales revenue growth compared to prior year period. Turning now to the main drivers of volume and revenue per case. As I mentioned, this year, the first quarter was disadvantaged by the timing of Easter, with the biggest impact on the established and developing markets, where in a number of big countries such as Italy and Poland, we typically see significant commercial activity during the Easter holidays. The volumes associated with Easter account for 2% to 3% of the total volume for the quarter in these two segments. Hence, the shift of this volume into Q2 is the key driver of the weaknesses in volume in both established and developing markets, where we have seen volume declines of 2.2% and 3.6% respectively. Volume in these two segments were also affected by our own actions, including, for example, the delisting of low-value brands in Italy and our focus on driving value in Poland. Emerging market volumes increased by 4%, with a strong performance from almost all countries in the segments and all categories except for juice. Our volumes in Russia showed the first signs of recovery, registering growth for the first time in 8 quarters and outperforming a weak non-alcoholic ready-to-drink market. Nigeria volumes continue to grow, albeit at a lower rate than last year, despite macroeconomic challenges and significant price increases. Romania and Ukraine also grew well. For the group as a whole, the underlying volume growth trends we have seen in the quarter are broadly in line with our expectation and bode well for the year. As you are aware, we relentlessly focus on improving the value we get from every case we sell, and in this quarter, the pace of growth has accelerated. An important contributor to this growth was the emerging markets, particularly Nigeria. The price increases we have been taking since the fourth quarter in Nigeria have accelerated FX neutral revenue per case growth to 10.3% in the quarter. In the developing market segments, our revenue growth management initiatives, notably in Poland, and reduced deflationary pressures drove FX neutral revenue per case up by 4.1%. In the established markets, promotional pressures and adverse channel mix more than offset positive category and package mix, resulting in a marginally weaker FX revenue per case performance. Looking at the categories, we are pleased with a good momentum in sparkling beverage performance, where we've seen volumes grow by 1.3% in the period. Good performances in Nigeria, Russia, Romania, and Ukraine more than offset weaknesses in Italy, Poland, and Switzerland. Within the category, Coca-Cola Regular, Coke Zero, Sprite, and Fanta made meaningful contributions. Volume in the water category declined marginally, with growth in emerging and established segments being offset by decline in the development segment. The delisting of low-value water brands in Italy and certain variants of water in Poland had a negative impact, while many countries delivered good growth in the category. Energy posted an increase of 12.4% in the quarter, following a 23.8% growth in the prior year quarter, with strong performance in Monster and overall growth in energy in all segments. We made excellent progress on improving package mix in the quarter, which has supported the FX neutral revenue per case growth. Single serve contribution improved by 1.2 percentage points, with good performances from the smaller packs in all segments. Sparkling single serve packs improved by 0.8 percentage points, while water improved by 1.9 percentage points. In conclusion, we are pleased with the underlying growth in our business and encouraged by the trading we have seen in our key countries such as Russia and Nigeria. Importantly, our commercial initiatives are delivering tangible results, notably by driving the substantial growth in FX neutral net sales revenue per case. Overall, it's been a good start to the year. With this, I will hand over to the operator, and Michalis and I will be happy to take your questions. Operator.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 2, and you will be advised when to ask your question. Our first question comes in from the line of Richard Felton, calling from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my question. Two from me, please. So first of all, in Nigeria, volume growth seems to be pretty resilient in Q1 despite the price increases you're taking. With that in mind, would you still consider flat volume for the full year to be a success, or is that perhaps a little bit conservative now given the performance that you've seen in Q1? Secondly, your volume in Italy was down by mid-single digits in Q1, and in your comments you've called out delisting of low-value water brands. Could you perhaps quantify the impact of the delisting, and would your volumes be flat if that's removed? Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Looking at Nigeria, we're very pleased to see the mid-single digit in Q1, take into consideration the high single digit price increases last year and the teens increase in Q1. We still believe that flattish volume in Nigeria would be a good result for the year. We have taken another teens increase in April, so we do expect in the short term that volumes will slow down, So we reiterate what we just what we said back in February with regards to flattish being a positive outcome for Nigeria. Going to Italy, there are a couple of elements there. The low-value brands is one part, and I would say it is 50% of what you are seeing. But there is the Easter part, which is considerable. What we have seen overall in the established and developing markets is the Easter playing an effect of between 2 to 3%. Now, out of that, because that covers both established and developing, out of that, there are two markets where Easter is far more evident, and that is Poland and Italy. And I'm saying that because looking at the trading in April, we have seen the effect of Easter, the positive effect of Easter in both established and developing, with a very positive outlier being Poland. But in all of the countries, we have seen a very positive effect. So that's where we are with regards to Italy.
Thank you. That's very clear.
The next question comes in from the line of Sanjeet Ujjila calling from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Demetrios. I just wanted to follow up on Russia, clearly a decent start to the year. Again, you still seem to be erring on the side of caution for the rest of the year. Can you just give us a little bit more color on what you've seen on the ground there? And secondly, just coming back to developing, even if you strip out the Easter impact, it seems like volumes are still down. At the full year results, you committed to volume growth in developing and emerging. Can you still get there in developing, and what are the moving parts there? Thanks.
Starting with Russia, we are very pleased. We are very pleased with the low single-digit growth we've seen in Q1. And in principle, looking back, what we have been discussing over our full-year results, starting with Q4 last year, it was the first quarter that we have seen a positive GDP after 2 years. Obviously, this will take some time to start filtering to consumption. Having said that, this is a weak market still, so it hasn't filtered through to consumption. The overall NARTD for Q1 was minus 3.6, so we are very happy outperforming, but this is a weak market. As we move along, we reiterate that this is going to be a flattish year. We will outperform a weak market. At this point of time, the estimates for the full year is negative for NARTD, minus 1%. We do believe that as we move along the year towards the second half of the year, we will see consumption being a bit more evident, reflecting the overall positive macros. So reiterating a normalization, a stabilization with a flattish year, which is a good overall outcome, taking into consideration the high single digits that we have seen in 2016. Now, going to developing, developing in Q1 were affected by Easter, and here the main negative contributor is Poland with high single digits negative. In Poland, our own estimation calls for Easter contributing negatively in Q1, 3 to 4%. So a key element is Easter in Poland. And as I said a little while ago, we're very happy to see April with Poland being by far the best positive outlier reflecting this Easter effect. We do reiterate what we have said with confidence, what we have said in February, that developing will continue to grow, and obviously Poland being 40% of developing will also be growing as well.
Thanks. Just coming back to Russia, I'd just like to understand better what's driving your strong outperformance in the market.
Well, in Russia, there were three things that I would like to leave behind. We are very happy to see sparkling moving strongly. The second element, if I will double-click, that's organized trade, which is a trend that we have seen, I would say, consistently in the past. And there is a third element there, which is an acquisition of a regional retailer in the Urals. All of those have contributed to the low single digits, again, in a market that has been declining by 3.6%.
Got it. Many thanks.
The next question comes in from the line of Edward Mondy, calling from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi. Morning, everyone. Three questions, please. Just on the commercial initiatives that are driving the improved category and packaging mix, I think your opening comments, or certainly the comments in the release, are that this is adding to your confidence of going into the remainder of the year. My question is, are you confident in this level of revenue per case growth for the year? The second is, again, back to pricing and in the emerging. I think you quantified that Nigeria growing probably mid-teens, which would imply that you're getting pretty decent pricing across the rest of the emerging business, and you know the 10% revenue per case growth is not just purely due to high inflation in Nigeria. Perhaps you could comment on what type of pricing you're getting in the rest of that division. And then the third is just on your FX guidance. You don't mention it. Presumably there's no change to your minus 15 million euros for the year.
Ed, on the category and pack mix, we are extremely happy, and we are extremely happy because this is core to our commercial initiatives, and we have seen that consistently being in the right direction. This is another quarter where we have seen that the package mix has been positive, both in sparkling and in water across the different segments. Now, with regards to revenue per case, very happy with Q1. The revenue per case growth in Q1, we expect that will slowly, gradually reduce as we go towards the end of the year. And here is why. There are a couple of elements that contributed positively to the 4.5% FX neutral revenue per case growth. Let me start with the two big ones, and that's Russia and Nigeria. In Russia, we have been taking prices also last year, so it's the cumulative effect. And then we also took price in Q1. At this point of time, and looking at the outside environment and at the positive overall macros, we don't foresee that we will take additional pricing as we move towards the end of the year. So obviously that reflects positively in Q1. Now going to Nigeria, in Nigeria, you will recall that last year we did a high single-digit price increase, and that started from H2 onwards. We had a teens increase in Q1 and a teens increase in April. With this in mind, obviously, we will be looking very carefully in the market. This is an affordability market. At this point of time, we do not believe that additional price increases to the tune of what we have been taking is something that will apply in the market. So with this in mind, again, Q1 was advantaged, taking into consideration the cumulative effect from last year and the two price increases, one in Q1 and the second early in Q2. So as we move on, the growth in revenue per case also in Nigeria will slow down. Now, we have been also taking pricing in the rest of emerging. You are absolutely right, Nigeria has been contributing quite a bit. If you take out the Nigeria effect, then the 10.7 or 10.3, the 10.3% in FX neutral revenue per case growth becomes 6.7. So we see that there is a strong element from the rest of the emerging. And with that, let me turn to Michalis for your FX question.
Hi, Ed. So the short answer is no real change to the FX guidance. We are still in the ballpark of 15 million. The ruble has not moved substantially in terms of spot price since February. We are at around 57.58 to the dollar. And with regard to the Naira, we continue to make internally an assumption of around 30% devaluation from where the official rate is today. We see some positive moves in the FX market in Nigeria, but it is very early to really say whether this will materialize into something positive for the rest of the year. So more or less, we are at the same place in terms of the full year FX guidance.
Thanks. Can I just follow up on Russia? You've taken some share in the quarter. You've also taken some, you know, pretty good pricing. Perhaps you could flesh out exactly what's happened in Russia. So you've got, you know, both of those two factors. And then the second follow-up is, you know, around revenue per case. You know, clearly quite strong. I know it's going to moderate in the second half, but perhaps you could talk about the implications on margins from the very good pricing you're getting.
Okay. With regards to Russia, again, as we said, we are very happy to see the overall macro consistently being in the right trajectory. Still, as I said, we are talking about negative overall market, 3.6, and still we see that the market will be negative for the full year. So what we are saying is reiterating that the second half of the year would be the one that would allow us to see this stabilization, which we currently believe will happen for the year. Now, going to the second question, I will connect that with what you asked me before, and that is the revenue per case on an FX neutral basis. And take into consideration that the growth, as I said, in Q1 had a lot of elements taking us to 4.5, and as we move this growth on the revenue per case will slowly go down. On top, we reiterate that with regards to volume established more or less flattish, and that's what we still see, emerging and developing will continue to grow. So it's these two elements in combination that allows us to reiterate our confidence on margins for the year end.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes in from the line of Kate calling from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hello, this is Kate Kalashnikova from Citi. Just a follow-up to Richard's question on Nigeria. The court in Nigeria has ordered TTH to place warning labels on Fanta and Sprite bottles to warn consumers against drinking them with vitamin C. I know you're appealing the case, but do you see a risk that volumes could deteriorate as a result of certain negative headlines with some consumers boycotting your products potentially? And have you seen any impact of this in April? And I understand it's difficult to segregate this impact in April from mid-teen price increases you've taken in April.
We have seen a good growth in Nigeria, and we have seen a good growth in Q1, driven from sparkling, driven from water. Within sparkling, all brands grew. And we see this trend being consistent. Now, with our April 3rd, I would say, price increase with regards to, and that was a teens price increase. As I said a little bit earlier, we do expect that in the short term, volume will slow down, but we reiterate that this is going to be a year where we are going to be happy to see flattish volume. So nothing really changed from what we've originally shared with you back in February. Good start with a mid-single digits and good start in a strong quarter for Nigeria, and reiterating what we have said back in February.
Okay. In this case, can you talk about competitive environment in Poland? I understand that some of your competitors have been discounting close to price points of private label, but CCH obviously had a very strong price mix, which shows that CCH has been very rational. What was the market growth in Poland in volume terms this quarter, and what have you seen in April during the Easter trading in Poland?
Okay, so a couple of things in Poland. In Q1, we saw a high single-digit decline. I would like to give you a bit more color on this decline. In principle, there are three elements there that I could identify. I'll start with water. Water went down high teens. And in principle, there are two reasons there. First is that we have shifted our frequency pack from the 1.75 to the 1.5. So obviously that had an evident effect with regards to volume. There's a second part with regards to delisting couple of variants. Then moving to sparkling, there are a couple of areas there. All of those areas are behind our consistent focus on value. The first thing is that we have been investing our promo intensity a lot more on smaller packs than bigger packs. So we have, in principle, taking investments out of the support on the 175 liters to the 1.5, the 1, and the single serve multi-packs. And additionally, continuing our efforts to further optimize our route to market, we have moved volume from cash and carry to wholesalers. So in the short term, this has a volume effect, which is a pipeline effect, but additionally, this has a positive effect as far as the revenue per case. That's why we are extremely happy to see a very good revenue per case in Poland in Q1.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes in from the line of Andrew Holland. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can I just build a bit on what Ed's question was sort of getting at around your margin? So if I use your usual growth algorithm, then based on 4.5 percentage points of growth in revenue per case, your margin would have gone up over 300 basis points in the quarter if we'd been able to see that. Am I right in thinking that that algorithm still works? And if it does, is that growth in margin coming where the revenue per case growth is coming, i.e. in the developed and emerging market segments? And just further to that, the current consensus is for about 100 basis points of margin growth. And again, using that algorithm, that would suggest price mix, if it's largely coming from price mix, of around just north of 1% compared to the 4.5% that you've done in the quarter. Is that sort of direction of thinking sensible for as we look at the full year forecasts?
Andrew, let me take your second question, and Michalis will take your first question. The consensus is not 100 basis points increase. As a matter of fact, the consensus is between 560 and 565 million EBIT. So this does not translate to 100 basis points. Now, looking at how we started the year, we are very happy. Now, we all know that Q1 is a small quarter, and with that, we do feel comfortable with what we see as far as the consensus is concerned. Let me pass now to Michalis for your first question.
Yeah, hi, Andy. Again, the algorithm works for Hellenic in total. It's an average for the whole group. Clearly, if you look segment by segment, those factors change. So in total for the group and for the full year, on a full year basis, not necessarily quarter by quarter. Looking at the performance in quarter one, looking at the trends that Dimitris mentioned earlier about how things will evolve in terms of the volume and the revenue per case currency neutral growth, we reiterate what we said at the beginning of the year in February, that this will be another year of margin expansion.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes in from the line of Fernando Ferreira. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the questions. A few questions on Nigeria, please. Can you please remind us what's the Naira assumption that you have for the year? And also, I mean, if we assume another devaluation for the year, the pricing that you're taking so far, is it enough to cover a potential additional currency devaluation? And lastly, if you can comment about your raw material cost in Nigeria as well. I mean, I understand that some of your suppliers have not been able to access, right, the official rate. So have you seen already a raw material inflation, assuming the parallel market rate? And then just lastly, please, if you could comment on an update on the bidding process for CCBA, it would be great. Thank you.
Well, let me start with the last one. You know our policy is not to comment on speculations of the market on potential M&As. And with that, let me pass to Michalis for your rest of your questions with regards to Nigeria.
Yeah, so the official rate for the Naira at the moment is around 315 to the dollar, 315 Naira to the dollar. And we said that our usual methodology in estimating the FX impact is to take the actuals that have happened up to this point in time and project the spot rates to the rest of the year. Now, specifically with Nigeria, we've made an exception because obviously the official rate is not the rate that we find when we transact with suppliers locally. So we have embedded in our estimates a further devaluation of 30%, which takes us to a rate of around 450 Naira to the dollar. And this is very much a rate or a ballpark, I would say, that we have been experiencing in Nigeria with suppliers. We buy the vast majority of our raw materials in Naira, in local currency, and clearly the suppliers ask us to embed into the Naira price a rate which is obviously a lot worse than the official rate, exactly for the reason you mentioned, that they cannot source dollars at the official rate, and they obviously need to source the dollars at a higher rate in order to make the imports of their raw materials. So we feel that this is an appropriate rate to incorporate in our calculations because it is the rate that we see in our transactional exposures when we buy raw materials locally in Naira. Now, on the pricing and whether it's enough to recover this, as we have seen also with the example of Russia, when there are very sharp devaluations in emerging markets, it's impossible to take enough pricing straight away to be able to recover the impact of the negative effects very quickly. So it happened in Russia. It took us 2 to 3 years to really get to the point that we could say that we have covered fully the depreciation of the ruble. It will be the same situation in Nigeria. It will take some time. We have taken some considerable price increases last year, in January this year, and also in April. Please bear in mind that we had not taken pricing for quite some time in Nigeria, so there is an element of a catch-up as well. It will take some time to say that we have really recovered fully the impact of the forex devaluation there.
Great. Thanks a lot.
The next question comes in from the line of Charles Pick, calling from Numis. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, thanks, everyone. Just a bit of clarification, please, on a number of points. The 4.4% volume decline for juice, is it possible just to elaborate on what was driving that, please? And then with the water decline of 0.1%, given Poland and given the Italian delistings, you would actually have thought there'd be a worse figure for that. Why basically is that figure not sort of even worse than, not much lower than 0.1%? And then in respect of the Easter situation, is it possible to clarify what the impact on the group volume figure was, what that 0.7% increase would otherwise have been, and ditto from the one fewer selling day, which I think featured two in Q1 of this year? And finally, on input costs, you were talking in February of high single digits in terms of the FX neutral per case increase for this year. Is that still valid, please?
Yes, let me start with juice. And here we have seen a negative performance, and that is coming in principle from the established markets, and I would pick Ireland and Greece. In developing markets, we have seen a good growth in Poland and Czech. And eventually, it's the emerging where we have seen losses in Russia and Nigeria. So if I would kind of consolidate that, it is Ireland, I would say, Russia and Nigeria. If I would like to give a bit more color here, in Ireland, there is a very specific part. We call it dilutes. And here we are working on repositioning ourselves in the market. That's a very small part of the overall juice for the group, but that has affected this small first quarter. Then in developing, as I said, I'm very happy with Poland and Czech. Hungary was a bit slow. But the key element was Nigeria and Russia. Now, in Nigeria, I would leave two elements behind. The first element is that we are cycling a 45% increase in Q1. So definitely there is a cycling phenomenon there. And we also had some issues with regards to production, which eventually, as we move on, this is not going to be the case. In Russia, it's the overall external environment, and looking at juice, what we see is a trend which is decelerating the decline. So as we move on and take into consideration the overall positioning in Russia, and especially on the second half of the year, we do expect that also juice in Russia will be a part of the overall stabilization. Now, going in water, a very marginal decline, and you are absolutely right, looking at the two areas, or I would say two and a half areas, giving you a bit more color, and that the first area is a low value in Italy, and we are cycling that in Q2. There's a second area, which is Poland, and here, there is an operational part and a non-operational part. The operational part is the shift from the 175 to the 1.5. Obviously, as we move along the year, this will improve versus the high teens decline that we have seen. And we had, as I said, some delistings of some variants. And also, I would conclude in water by saying that in Romania, we also delisted our 5 liters pack, so that contributed to the overall situation. So that's why, as we move along, we believe that Q1 is not really the one that is indicative of the overall water performance.
And coming to the question on the input cost, everything that we have seen in the first quarter point to the same guidance, no reason to change the guidance for high single-digit increase on input cost per case currency neutral. We said also in February that this is going to be at the lower part of the high single-digit range. We have seen a little bit of volatility in terms of the oil price, which obviously affects the resin prices. Also, aluminium has been edging a little bit upwards, but overall, give or take, we are still at the same levels in terms of the full year guidance.
Let me conclude with the last part of your question with regards to Easter for the group. That's approximately 1%.
Great. Okay. Good. Thank you very much. Very comprehensive answers. And the one fewer selling day effect?
Well, here, this one less selling day, that's a one less consumption. So as far as we are concerned, we don't take that into consideration. It's even to even.
Okay. Right. Thanks.
We have another question coming in from the line of Edward Mondy. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the follow-up. Sorry to labour the point, but just coming back to Russia again, just so I can understand it clearly, the market was down 3.6 in NARTD in Q1. You grew low singles. You think the market's going to be down 1% for the year, yet your guidance is still for a year of volume stabilisation. You know, clearly there's an element of conservatism here. You know, Q1 is a small quarter, but perhaps you could flesh out, you know, why you're being conservative at this stage. Are you expecting a competitive response, or is there anything sort of behind your conservatism, given that the market ought to improve in particular into the second half?
Well, Ed, Q1 is a small quarter. As I said, we are very happy. And I gave a bit more color on Q1 with regards to where this growth coming from. Happy to see sparkling, happy to see organized trade. There is an additional element with the retailer that we have acquired in Q1. So that positively contributes to the very low single-digit performance. Now, with this in mind, the 1% is a forecast. Right now, the actual is 3.6. We do believe that it will take a bit of time to see the overall positive macro filtering through. That's why, at this point of time, with a very small quarter, we reiterate that stabilization is what we see for overall Russia for the full year.
Or perhaps asking a different way, have you seen any significant change in trend into Q2 in Russia so far?
It's far too early. It's far too early with regards to April. We need to see the rest, especially June. That's a big month. So that is not changing our overall position.
Great. Thank you.
The next question comes in from the line of Stamatios, calling from Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi there. That's Stam Draziotis from Eurobank Equities. Yeah, just a quick follow-up on your FX neutral net revenue per case, the 4.5% growth registered in Q1. You mentioned that category and pack mix were supportive along with pricing. Could you maybe split between the two factors, i.e. price mix?
Stamo, IR will take that offline with regards to the details on the contribution. What we said is that we are very happy to see the overall commercial initiatives being so strong and consistently contributing, and that's another quarter. And I will sort of reiterate that this is something that eventually drives a part of this 4.5%. Definitely there is a pricing element, and this pricing element is coming both from developing, very happy to see the 4.1% growth in developing and the 10.1% in emerging. As I said a little bit earlier, emerging has a strong contribution from Nigeria. So out of this 4.5%, if you take Nigeria out, that is a 2.7% growth. So we are very happy to see the underlying business, excluding the Nigeria effect, being very strong. And with that, I will reiterate that the growth we have seen in Q1, we expect that that will gradually slow down as we move towards the end of the year, still seeing very good underlying trends. On your details, on the details that you have asked, please do connect with IR to give you the different contributions.
That's very helpful, actually. Thank you.
We have another question coming in from the line of Andrew Holland. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sorry to labour the point again, but I've just gone back into the VUMA consensus that you sent around a couple of days ago. And just so you're quite right, I was looking at the wrong bit for the EBIT margin. The EBIT comparable EBIT margin for 2017 on the consensus is 8.7%, and that's comparing with 8% last year, so 70 bips up. But then if I look at the change in total FX neutral net sales revenue per case, that's plus 3.3. And so, again, using your algorithm, that would imply somewhere north of 200-250 bips of margin growth, and that's without any volume contribution to the margin, and there is an expectation of some volume growth as well. So what is the disconnect there? Is it, what is coming in to limit that EBIT margin growth?
Hi, Andy. So we have to look at the full year, and we have to look at the full year trends, because as Dimitris was saying earlier, what we saw in quarter one is not exactly the progression that we will see for the rest of the year in terms of the volume growth and also in terms of the revenue per case currency neutral growth. So potentially looking on a full year basis at a small improvement in the trend in terms of the volume, and we will see still growth in the revenue per case currency neutral, but as Dimitris said earlier, with a slowdown in the rate of growth. So we have to look at those rates of growth in order to derive the margin dynamics. And on the other side, we have also the combined effect of FX and input cost. And we said in February that even though FX is easing dramatically compared to where it was last year, because of the input cost per case growth acceleration versus what we saw last year, very significant acceleration, the combined effect of input cost and FX is higher than in prior year. And this is what offsets the faster growth of the top line and the increased contribution to the bottom line. So overall, that's why we are coming to expansion of margin for this year as well. Now, you mentioned where the consensus is. At this point, it's too early to really say and take a position whether it will be significantly more or less than that. Certainly, the results of quarter one give us confidence about margin expansion for the year.
Okay, so I should be thinking in terms of an offset to that algorithm coming from FX and coming from input costs. So it is possible to have a consensus forecast of 3% on price mix, but to have some of that lost to FX and higher input costs.
Yeah, as I said, we do expect overall, as you said, that we will see in the top line better trends because also of the impact of Nigeria pricing. Dimitris mentioned how significant the contribution of the Nigeria pricing is to the overall algorithm. But as I said, the combined impact of FX and input cost, negative impact, is higher than prior year, and that's how those two are working against each other.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We currently have no further questions in the queue, so I will just give a final reminder. If you would like to ask a question, please press star one now. Okay, we have no further questions coming through, so I shall hand it back over to yourself for any concluding remarks.
Thank you, operator. I want to thank you for joining us today and for all your questions that facilitated a good discussion around our first quarter performance. Trading has started as expected, and we have a number of initiatives that are delivering well for the group. We look forward to sharing more results with you in the coming periods. Thank you and have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handset.